Tonight we're going to continue in the series, Restoring the Fallen. And this is the 13th part in that series. We've talked about a lot. We're not going to go back and go over everything. But to summarize, this series is about people in the body of Christ, whether you're behind the pulpit or in the pew, you've given into sin for any period of time, whatever it would be. Doesn't have to be for years. And you're seeking for this thing to be changed in your life. Well, there's a process for restoration that needs to take place. And in this restoration process, the potential for permanent change also exists. Too many Christians don't believe this. And quite frankly, there are Christians who would argue this point. And I feel sad for them because, like I shared, if the power of God can remove the sin nature from an individual and replace it with his own life, then I can guarantee you permanent change in a Christian is absolutely possible, and it doesn't matter what you've done. One of the biggest hang-ups a lot of people have is that, but you don't know what they did to me, in that their sin is so horrible they could never experience permanent change. In other words, you're holding on to some unforgiveness. I mean, bottom line, that's what it is. If you're either holding on to unforgiveness or you really do not understand the power of God when it comes to change. When the heart is sincere, the change can take place. But the heart has to be sincere. Well, along the line of the change itself and the restoration, we've talked about meditation in God's Word, how that meditation, which includes confession of the Word of God, helps to bring about the change. We talked about worship, how that plays a role. And we've talked about prayer, in particular praying in tongues, and the role that that plays. And none of these things that we've talked about, the meditation and the Word, the worship, the praying in tongues, none of that was the all-inclusive teaching about those subjects, because there are other teaching series that you need to get. See, the whole thing of restoring the fallen, it's not simply a matter of listening to this. There's a whole lot more involved. And if you really want the restoration, if you really want the permanent change, you can have it, but it's going to take some work on your part. Listen, guys, it's easy to sin, is it not? I mean, you know, you can give into a lot of stuff. But the more that you grow in the Lord, the more you're going to find, yeah, you can do it, but it's going to be more difficult because your new nature on the inside is going to be so much stronger that the conviction is going to be terrible. So, yeah, anybody can do whatever you want to do. It's totally up to you. But when it comes to this whole thing of the permanent change, it can happen. Well, tonight, we want to talk about another facet of the change and what can help you bring this change about and the permanent change and the restoration. And then later on, I don't know if it'll be next week, but at some point in time, we're going to talk about some other things relative to this whole process of restoration, whether or not ministers can be restored back to the pulpit. Some people don't think they can. And we're going to see some things from God's Word. But tonight we want to talk about something. Go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 58. We're going to talk about how fasting plays a role in this. Now, I have a teaching series entitled Unlocking the Secrets of Fasting. And that teaching series, I think it was maybe 10 or 14 or whatever sermons. I don't remember at the moment, but how many? 26. It was 26 sermons on fasting. My goodness, you starved to death by the time to listen to all those. So, listen to a tape, eat the next day. Listen to a tape, eat the next day. 26 sermons on fasting that go into so much more detail than what we're going to be covering tonight. Tonight, it's really to prime the pump to lead you to that series, to learn more about it. Now, in Isaiah 58, if you take a look at verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Or in some versions it says rear reward. Now let's look at this. What's happened is a lot of people have taught this whole concept of fasting from the position, like these three verses here, from the position that I fast and you change. Now look at it. Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke? So if I fast, then I'm going to loose your bands of wickedness. I'll undo your heavy burdens. And if you're oppressed, you'll go free. And that every yoke's going to be broken. The focus is on somebody else. At least the way it's taught. All right? That's not what he's talking about. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Not the other person's light. It's your light. Okay, what is your light? Well, we've already talked in this series how that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So the light that he's talking about is the life of God in you. In John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus and how that in Jesus was life and the life was the light of men. So when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, our spirit is lit, if you will. And we now have that life, or we have that light on the inside of us. And he says, listen, in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? So that, verse 8, your light will spring forth as the morning. Well, what's he comparing it to? A sunrise? If you get up before the sun rises and you stand, especially if you're like on the ocean facing east, and you just stand there and watch, pretty soon that sun's going to pop up over the horizon, and it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter, and it is going to be gorgeous. And you'll be taking pictures and just having yourself a good old time. That's what he's talking about. He's saying fasting is going to enable the light that is in you to break forth. Now, look at how this is written. If my light's going to break forth, that means something is holding it back. You see this? If nothing's holding it back, there's no need for a breaking forth. Now, is there? What is it that's holding it back? Verse 6, bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, oppression, yokes. These are things in my life, in your life. Now, I'm not saying that you have these things. I'm not saying I have these things. This is what he's talking about. These are things that are keeping that light held back. And he says, listen, if you fast, you're going to experience a process. Think about a sunrise. How that when the sun begins to rise, you see like a little sliver, and then it gets bigger and bigger, you know, as it rises, comes up over the horizon, and the light gets brighter and brighter. All right, what he's saying here is this. You know, your light is going to begin to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Your light is going to begin to shine forth. In other words, the light that is in you is going to be brighter than the darkness you've been fighting. And whatever it is that's been holding that light in and controlling it, he says, listen, if you'll fast, it's going to help you get to the place to where, and look at the first thing that's listed, loose the bands of wickedness. Now, what are we talking about in this series? Christians being restored out of sin. You see, this is where a lot of people get confused about that Christians still have a sin nature. Well, if you didn't still have a sin nature, you wouldn't do those things. There's a difference between humanness and the sin nature. It was humanness which led Adam to eat the fruit, not the sin nature. Do you see this? Okay, so what's your forbidden fruit? Is it filth on the internet? Is that your apple? What's your forbidden fruit? Is it the anger issues that we talked about before? I mean, what's your apple? Okay? Whatever that wickedness is, fasting is going to play a role in you breaking free from this and being restored. Well, I just don't know. Hold on here. Hold on. Anybody here ever been desperate or felt desperate? You know what? If you want true restoration and permanent change, you're going to have to be desperate for it. Because if you're not, it's not going to happen. And I have encountered Christians over the years. They talk, but they don't want to walk. How bad do you want this? There are a lot of Christians that they want to experience change, but the thing is they want God on their terms, not His. And they want to change on their terms, not His. God, I will change myself. Because I'm macho man. I can do it. I'm super Christian. Woohoo! I can do it. No, you can't. You can, but you can't. Because you've got an attitude problem. It's called pride. And your pride is getting you to, is causing you to sit back and think, you can do this, and yet you've been dealing with this problem now for how long? 8 weeks? 10 years? 30 years? How long? How long? If you do not add tools that God has revealed in His Word to experience this restoration and permanent change, why should you think it's going to happen? There are a lot of Christians, they don't want it. If God wants me changed, He'll just change me. God says, if you want to change, this is how. I've got things in my Word will tell you how. You want to be edified and built up on your most holy faith? There's no problem. Pray in tongues. You want to experience my presence? I'll inhabit it if you I'll inhabit your worship if you worship me. You'll have my presence. You want to have things changed in your life? Confess my Word. Confess my will. Because I said, if you'll confess it and believe with your heart, you'll get it. So, see, here's the thing. You can't go to God with any question. He doesn't have an answer. God, I want to change. No problem. Here's how. Fasting helps in this area. Now, a lot of people don't like fasting. I don't like fasting. I have struggled over the years with fasting. And dealt with a blood sugar issue. And there are times when I've tried to fast. Trust me, you don't want me driving a car. I can't. It's weird. And we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about this, okay? What I'm getting at is fasting is an answer. Fasting helps you accomplish this change. Just because, remember we talked about absence of the act does not mean you've been changed. Remember the illustration we gave? A chained dog is not a changed dog. All right? Just because he hasn't bitten you in 3 years doesn't mean he's changed. It just means he is chained. Unchain him and see what he does. We'll be praying for your healing. Hallelujah. So just because you have chained yourself up, I'll not go in that store again because every time I do such and such. I mean, whatever that means, okay? Oh, I get it. So the answer is, don't ever use the internet. Because if you do, then you go to those websites. So don't ever, cut the cable. See what I mean? That's not the answer. Come on, think with me here for a minute. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Can I be blunt for the first time? You honestly think Jesus never had a woman come to Him with a suggestion? Got kids. Do you honestly think that never happened to Him? It's like, we got Jesus in some kind of a bubble to where He can't relate to us. I can guarantee you that there were some pretty women that approached Him over the years. I guarantee it.
Well, how can you be so sure?
Listen. There are a lot of women who are attracted to men in ministry. You would not believe I could stand here and rattle off stories. I'm not. It's not about me. About somebody else. Hallelujah. Where stuff happens. Where these women, they just, I'm not. Anyway, what I'm getting at is this. If there's a problem area in your life, regardless of what it is, the solution is not to avoid the thing. Well, I just can't get around alcohol anymore because, you know, I struggle with that all these years, and so therefore the answer is to not go near it, not go anywhere where it's sold. Gee whiz, you've eliminated a whole bunch of restaurants, grocery stores. What are you gonna? How are you gonna live? That, listen, guys, that's not the answer. The answer is to dominate the. I'll say it like this: is to dominate the humanness with the life of God in you. Because there's a difference between humanness and the sin nature. It is human for certain things to take place in a person's life, but there are excesses. You understand what I mean? Now, he says, I, God, have chosen fasting to help you loose the bands of wickedness. People over the years have talked about how they feel bound up by a problem. God says, look, fasting will help loose those bands to undo the heavy burdens. There are Christians that are walking around every day of their lives with the heavy burdens of the sin that they're living in. Have you ever heard these stories about these preachers? Where it comes out what they're doing, and they talk about how they've been carrying that burden for such a long time. What's this say? It says fasting will help undo the heavy burden. It will let the oppressed go free. Now, oppression basically comes from two sources: your emotions and devils. A lot of times you can feel oppressed, and it's you creating a bad situation for yourself because you're dwelling on things you shouldn't dwell on, like your past. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, it's like they keep thinking about what could have been, what should have been, and what never was. And there's an oppression that they can create for themselves like that. But then oppression can also be demonic in nature or in source, in origin. Either way, doesn't matter. Why not? Because it says right here, let the oppressed go free. So fasting can help you deal with the area of your own thought life as far as if it's connected to oppression. But also, fasting is going to help you understand how to break free from whatever demonic force is working in your life, if it's oppressive. Look what else fasting will do. To break every yoke. What is a yoke? Well, you know, in those days, the yoke would go on the oxen and the oxen would pull the plow. Okay? In other words, one way to look at this, and we're not going to go, you know, deeply into it, but one way to look at it is a yoke represents somebody or something else is controlling your life and guiding your steps. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you're devil possessed. What I'm saying is a yoke is because, listen, some of you in here, maybe you've dealt with things in your own life, and there are a lot of Christians. If this series gets out to the body of Christ, Christians are going to hear this, that have felt like their life's been controlled by things. I just can't break away from this. Well, whatever it is that you feel is controlling your life, fasting will help you understand that as a Christian, you don't have to let anything or anybody else control your life. Jesus Christ is supposed to be the Lord of your life. When His Lordship is demonstrated, when His Lordship is in operation in your life, you're not going to do these things. It's not going to happen. Listen, did you know Jesus can even be the Lord of your thoughts? Whatsoever things are just, pure, holy, righteous, think on these things. Jesus can be the Lord of your thoughts. One of the things that I'm going to be sharing a little bit more about this at some point in time, one of the things that the Lord said is that in people's minds, and this it fits into this series as well, there are memories of what they've done. And He said the memories of what they've done are memories based on sin. That kind of goes without saying. But He went on to explain that the memories, those memories, need to be replaced with new memories. Or put another way, their dominance in your thought life need to be supplanted with other memories. You say, well, how do you do that? How did you get the old memories, the sin memories? How did you get those? Through experience, right? How would you get new memories? through experience. So what you have to do is have God experiences to create better memories to supplant the sin memories. Okay? Now, as you fast, he talks about in verse 7, dealing your bread to the hungry, bring the poor that are cast out. This is talking really about ministry. And again, we're not going to teach much at all on verse 7. It's contained in great detail in that series, Unlocking the Secrets of Fasting. But verse 7 is about being in ministry. And where it says that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, a lot of people have taught that this is talking about your own family. Well, I can understand that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you. But let me rephrase it. A variation on the theme that's not the perfect interpretation, okay? That you stop living in denial. And we're not talking about a river in Egypt. That you stop living in denial of... Boy, you guys. You know, I threw some of my best zingers out there, and all you do is groan. Like you're in pain. Fasting will help you. That you hide not from your own flesh. I have encountered so many Christians over the years that, and you say, you know, you say that a lot, Brother Martin, you've encountered so many Christians. Well, I have. That are hiding from their own flesh. In other words, they've got a problem. But they don't think they do. And they don't want to deal with it. I can handle this. Dude, do you have any idea how bad this thing is? I mean, it's like everybody, you're the only one swimming upstream and you think everybody else has got a problem. It's you. You're hiding from your issues. Your pride issues, your anger issues. Your I'm better than that, this, that. I mean, all these different things. The, you know, well, it's not a really bad problem. I just do it once a week. You're not supposed to be doing it ever. You understand this? Because as long as you're doing it once a week, there's like, okay, say it like this, there's at least one band of wickedness. And it's got to be broken free. You've got to, you can have 1,000 bands wrapped around you, but as long as one is left, then you're not walking in the fullness of who Christ made you. If you're going to do verse 7, which is fulfill your ministry, you cannot hide from your flesh. And you've got to break out of all of verse 6. Because he says, when you do this, when you fast, it's going to enable you to fulfill your ministry calling, verse 7. It's going to enable you to break free from all the things, verse 6. Your light is going to break forth as the morning. Let me put it another way. There will be a greater level of anointing operating in your life. It will flow through you as bright as the morning sunrise. Your health will spring forth speedily. Now he's talking about bodily health, and we're not going to talk about that here tonight. We do cover that in really some interesting detail in that series, Unlocking the Secrets of Fasting, about how fasting affects the physical body. And where he says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward, I got to be honest with you guys. In my opinion, this is one of the most confusing statements in all of Scripture. Now, you may not feel that way, but I do. I understand what it's saying, but I can remember for years and I read that and I think, that's weird. The glory of the Lord shall be my rear reward. And you can interpret it all different ways. And why the interpreters did it this way, I'm not sure. But this word, it comes from from a Hebrew word, Asaph. And it means to gather up. And remember when Jesus was talking about the hen gathering her chicks? Okay. Now, in Scripture, there are several passages that say something like this about a person talking to God or crying out to God or something, gather me under thy wings. Okay. Now, where he says here that the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward, you can't even say that word, let alone understand it. Your rearward? Rear reward? The glory of the Lord, the image is that the glory of the Lord is going to gather you up. You will be gathered up or taken up or surrounded, encompassed, and enveloped by His glory. See? And it also gives the impression of being a type of protection from rear attacks. You ever heard somebody say something like they were blindsided? You ever heard somebody say something like they were blindsided by the devil? Okay. This fasting, it's going to help you get to the point to where it's like you are going to be gathered up and surrounded by God's glory every day. When you are gathered up, see, here's what can happen. When you are gathered up and surrounded and enveloped by His glory, you are not going to have the same feelings to do such and such anymore. Earlier in this series, I talked about how that this whole thing of restoration and permanent change, it's not simply a matter of a person getting to the point to where they don't do it anymore, but it's also a person getting to the point to where they're not enticed like they used to be. I mean, look, temptation's always going to be out there in the world, okay? It's always going to be there. But you're not going to feel the same pull to give into it. When you are in the presence of God's glory, when it's like, you know, it has, God's taking you in under His wings of glory, you're not going to feel the same enticement to do the thing, even though the thing is still there. And even though you may remember that you had given into it in the past, you're not going to feel the same compulsion or the same drive or the same frustration of trying to hold yourself in check to not do it. It's going to become a simple matter to say no. When you're in the, listen, do you think anybody in heaven has a problem with sin? Absolutely not. It's the perfect environment. So what you're doing is trying to create as much as possible that same kind of environment in your own life. And he says fasting will help you get to the place to where you literally are caught up in the glory of God. That you are surrounded by His glory, and it will cause you to be more sensitive to these blindsiding attacks that Satan is going to plan against you. And guys, I'm telling you right now, he's going to plan them. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. He can prepare. One of the things that you'll find, let me just kind of give you a heads up, those of you that are called to ministry, which is all of you, but especially if you're called to a pulpit ministry, one of the things that Satan will try to do is demonstrated in the four Gospels by many of the tricks that the Pharisees and all tried to play on Jesus. It's to put you in a rock and a hard spot where there's no way out. Example, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? Okay? That looked like a no-win situation. But he got out of it. In other words, he was prepared. Jesus was prepared spiritually for when that thing, because a lot of people, they would have said, remember the one time they came to him and they said, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, I'll answer you if you answer me. John's baptism, was it of heaven or man? And they said, we don't know. He said, well, fine, then I won't answer you. They weren't prepared, but he was. Because when you go back and read that story, and after their answer, he answers them anyway. They just don't catch on he's answering them. But he gives them the answer where he got his authority. Now, Satan's going to try and blindside you. I'm telling you right now, you better prepare yourself for it some way, somehow. He is going to try and blindside you and get you in a no-win situation to where no matter what you do, you're going to come out the loser. But God can help you come out. Even though some people might not like what you do, God can prepare you ahead of time so that spiritually His glory has protected your rear from that attack. And you're going to be sensitive to when something's coming. And I'm growing in this, okay? But when you can begin to sense spiritually that Satan's getting ready to do something, it almost makes you feel good. From the perspective of, yeah, that's cool. God's letting me in on something. I mean, if He's God, which He is, and He's omnipotent, which He is, and He's omniscient, which He is, I mean, He knows ahead of time what Satan's going to do. He'll let you know. But fasting helps you to become more sensitive to these attacks. And relative to this series, fasting will not only help you break these bands of wickedness. I mean, it doesn't say break some. It says break the bands. How many do you have? Doesn't matter. Break the bands. It'll help you do it. You'll be completely free from this thing. Total freedom. Permanent change. But at the same time, it's going to help you get to the place where you're sensitive about an attack of Satan to try to draw you back into this thing. Whatever that would mean. And again, this is all relative. Fasting, remember when Jesus fasted in Luke chapter 4, well, in the New Testament, the four Gospels, how Jesus went into the wilderness to fast, fasted 40 days, Satan came to get him, tempt him, take him down. A lot of people have taught that when he fasted, it was for the purpose of becoming so weak, because he had to face Satan as his weakest. No, Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. The first Adam blew it. The second Adam couldn't. I mean, he had to be strong enough to endure. The second Adam did not come here on earth as God. Now, he was God in the flesh. But what I'm saying is, and we've talked about this before, he made himself of no reputation. And that phrase means he left his self-reliant powers behind so that he could be made in the fashion of a man and be like us. Now, when he went into the wilderness, he went into the wilderness with the life of God, the same life we receive when we're born again. He also went into the wilderness filled with the Holy Spirit. Same filling we get when we receive that infilling of the Holy Spirit. So from that perspective, he was like us. And he goes into that wilderness to face Satan. That's why he went. The first time, Satan, he came in on God's territory. God's garden, remember? He came in on God's territory. The second time, the second Adam, he went looking for the devil. Read the scripture. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to face the devil. He said the first time it took place in a garden, the second time it took place in a barren wilderness that is the very epitome of who Satan is. A barren wilderness. Jesus went looking for him and he fasted the whole time. Not so he would be weak, but so that he would be as strong as he possibly could spiritually to stand up to every temptation. So that he wouldn't, if you will, eat of the forbidden fruit. And every time Satan came to him, he says, if you're the Son of God, do this. Well, if you're the Son of God, do this. Well, if you're the Son of God, do this. He was the Son of God. He didn't have to prove anything. He was the Son of God because he had God's life and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Satan comes to you and says, well, if you're the Son of God, you don't have to prove anything to him. I'm the Son of God because I'm birthed of God. That's what makes me the Son of God. I don't have to do something on the outward to prove I'm a Son of God. I've had a spiritual transformation on the inside. I am the Son of God. Well, fasting helps us to become stronger in the realm of the Spirit in the same way it helped Jesus to become strong enough to face the devil himself. Now guys, listen, I doubt if there's anybody in this room that's ever going to face Satan head on. So whatever devils we do face, fasting is going to help us to become stronger to endure whatever they throw our way. Whatever bands of wickedness they want to try and wrap around us, fasting is going to help us. It's going to get us to a place of being stronger. The Spirit, Jesus talked about how the Spirit's willing but the flesh is weak. So what's he revealing to us in that? He says, now listen, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So if I'm doing the works of the flesh, what am I doing? I'm giving in to weakness, not strength. He says the Spirit is willing. What that means is that your born-again spirit is willing to be free from these things, to be completely changed. But what we have to do, and fasting helps us do this, is get our born-again spirit to the place to where we understand the power of the life of God on the inside of us so that flesh, it is completely dominated by God's life. Jesus was tempted without sin, but he was tempted. He was here on earth, yet without sin. We can get to that place to where spiritually we are without sin. In other words, we dominate that which is weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. We dominate the weakness. Why give in to weakness? Why let it happen? You know, you get into... You ever seen any of these professional wrestling matches? The guys, listen, I got to tell you. I mean, I don't watch that stuff anymore. It's stupid. But I used to watch it years ago. And some of these matches, there is no way that some of these guys would have won if it had been real. Because the guy they were up against was about a foot taller and 400 pounds heavier. And I can remember, how many of you remember Andre the Giant? Trust me, nobody would have beat that guy if he didn't let him. 7'4", 415, 20 pounds, and they think they're going to whoop him? I heard stories about his strength. He was not a trainer, or he didn't train for strength, but I read stories. You know, I mean, he passed away here a few years back, but I read stories about things that he did strength-wise. And one guy who, I forget who he was, but I mean, he understood about powerlifting and so forth. He said if Andre the Giant had applied himself to powerlifting, he would have broken every world record in no time flat. He was naturally incredibly powerful. So you think anybody's going to whoop on him? There's no way. He had to let them. The more powerful had to allow the weaker to win. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. The only way that the flesh dominates is if we, the more powerful, allow it to dominate. Fasting helps us come to the place of understanding how to turn the tables on this thing and dominate the flesh. Okay, now, somebody might ask, how long am I going to have to do this? How long am I going to have to fast? How long am I going to have to confess the word? How long am I going to have to, you know, worship and pray in the spirit and all? I mean, how long am I going to have to do this? You know what? Whatever amount of praying, fasting, and worshiping you've been doing, first off, you need to understand you're going to have to do more. Because whatever you were doing before wasn't working. Not the way that it could. It was helping you. But if you're going to break free and experience this total change, you're going to have to understand that you're going to have to go to a higher level of prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. It's not an option. Now, here's the thing. If you want this change, you can have it, but you have to understand there's more required of you. How long is it going to take? There is no answer. For one person, it might take 6 months of increased prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. For another person, it might take 6 years. Here's the thing, though. If you do this, the change is inevitable. It's going to happen. I remember a story one time of a particular minister was going through some problems and it became public. And he wanted change. He wanted restoration. So, okay. Some others were helping him. And it was like this thing just kept going on and on and on. Well, come to find out, to put it as one other person put it, this minister kept feeding the dog. In other words, kept going back to whatever the sin was. Every now and then, just every now and then. Yeah, he was praying and fasting and doing these other things, but every now and then he chose to go over and do the other when he knew better. What you're going to have to do is make a decision that the sin doesn't feel as good as what you think it does, no matter what that sin is. You're going to have to convince yourself it's not worth it. You're going to have to convince yourself that God is extremely displeased with you, that you are damaging your testimony for Christ. You're going to have to understand that you can't keep doing this and be pleasing in God's sight. You can forget about your ministry. Oh, man will help you with ministry. I'm talking about God. You forget it. Hang it up. There is no ministry for you if you continue to make this choice, especially once you've been confronted over it. Now, how long are you going to have to do this? This is going to be a process that's going to take some time. and there is no calendar. In other words, your attitude has to be, I'm going into this thing for no matter how long it takes, and I'm going to experience the change. I'm going to experience the restoration. I am not going to turn back. I am going to emerge in this thing, out of this thing, as the conqueror. I will win. That has to be your attitude. Even if it means that this increased level of prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word has to last from now till the time Jesus comes back. Your attitude has to be, if that's what it takes, bless God, that's what it's going to take. I'm going to do it. I am not going to let this thing dominate me anymore. I'm not giving any more. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to win. And so you may have to be at this for a long time. But I'll be honest with you guys. It shouldn't take as long as what some people might think. What I'm talking about is, you know, 15 years from now, if you say you're still fighting, something ain't right somewhere. You're probably feeding that dog. Because it shouldn't take that long to experience this kind of change if your heart is sincere. If it's sincere. Now, along with this, going into it with no calendar, meaning as long as it takes, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. You're going to have to follow Jesus to the wilderness. You say, what's that mean? Well, remember when Jesus went to the wilderness? Who went with him? The Holy Spirit, yeah, but, I mean, who went with him? Nobody. Now, here's what I mean. For Jesus to win this fight, to win this battle, he knew he had to separate himself from everybody else. Relative to this series, you're going to have to understand that you're going to need times of separation. And in some cases, depending upon the issues that are being dealt with, that separation may even mean separation from church. You say, well, what do I do? You isolate yourself while everybody else is at church. You isolate yourself for some extremely intense worship, confession of the Word of God, praying in the Spirit. Because this is only for a season. We're not talking about a permanent separation. This is only for a season. Because these bands of wickedness have been very strong in your life, and you've got to break this thing. Now, I'm not saying everybody in every situation looking for restoration and permanent change has to separate themselves from church, but in some cases that may be necessary, especially if it is a sexual issue. Because for some reason, as I shared before, those seem to be the strongest bands for people to break. In some sexual areas more than others. So it may require you, in fact, it may require you to take a week or two of your vacation time and be completely separated and completely isolated. I'm talking from your family even. To where it is just you and Jesus. And you're fighting this thing to break this, whatever it is. How did it get there in the first place? You don't know. See what I mean? So you're not sure what it's going to take. And in some cases, it's going to take some very intense battle to break free, to break these bands. Along with this, you're going to need some accountability. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what the sin would be, there's going to have to be some accountability. You know how in some of these recovery programs, they'll have a like a buddy system to where, like with some of the alcoholic recovery programs, you've got a sponsor, is that what it's called? Sponsor, mentor? To where if you feel like, oh, I got to have a drink, got to have a drink, you're supposed to call that person. Same kind of process, really. This is one we can learn from the world. A spiritual, call it a sponsor, mentor, partner, buddy, whatever you want to call it. But somebody that you can call, even if it's just to say, hi, how you doing? And here's what I'm getting at. It doesn't have to be everybody that you call. It doesn't have to be somebody that knows what you're fighting. Here's what I mean. You're feeling this, got to go do it, whatever it is. Just call someone that's strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and just talk. How things going? Blah, blah, blah. Now, before I go any further, just because you might get a phone call from somebody doesn't mean they're getting ready to... Okay, don't make an assumption. It's, hey, Mabel. It's Bob. He's getting ready to sin. That's why he's called us. No, don't make that assumption. But you can call and talk to somebody. And you can just, in other words, what I'm saying is, you're calling somebody who's walking strong in God, and you're pulling from their strength just in that conversation. But likewise, having somebody who knows what you've been through, knows what you're fighting, and understands that they need to be a support to you. Having that kind of accountability partner, I would say, is probably necessary in most all cases. Because if you're not willing to make yourself accountable, you're not ready for change. You have to take your life and open it up like a book. Not for the world to see, but for at least one or two people to see. For at least one or two people to know what you're fighting. Hey, if we're your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we're mature, this is where that, over in Galatians chapter 6, where it talks about ye who are spiritual, restore soul, this is where these people play a role. You're not going to have just anybody you can trust in this. You've got to have somebody who's walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. They who are spiritual. We're your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's our responsibility to help you, even if it's just a 5-minute phone call. Even if it's just, hey, I just want to call, you know, and kind of, you know, just feeling some stuff right now and so forth. And just, even, you know, just 5 minutes, maybe all it takes. And a prayer over the phone. And then you just go on. But there needs to be that accountability partner. You need to be willing for there to be unannounced visits to your home and, depending upon the circumstances, your place of work. And you need to be willing to open the door and let them in. You say, well, why is that? Hey, yeah, you know how many Christians are hiding their stuff in their closets? I'm not saying we go through your house, all right? Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, okay, you ever caught anybody doing something they shouldn't and they've got that guilty look on their face and that guilty tone of voice? Are you with me? Well, you need to be willing to allow unannounced visits to take place at least at your home and nowhere else. You need to be willing for there to be phone calls anytime, day or night, cell phone and home phone, whatever, to check up. What are you doing? Where are you? What's going on? You say, does it have to be that drastic? With all the garbage that's going on in the body of Christ today, yeah. See, what I'm sharing with you is a whole concept of restoration the body of Christ doesn't know anything about. Because remember I shared at the beginning of this how in the body of Christ the Lord shared with me that basically nobody understands this concept of restoration. And there has to be this whole aspect of accountability. And if you've got it wouldn't be a bad idea also to document your life. In other words, have some kind of a timesheet where you are documenting, like every hour, you write down where you are and what you're doing. If you're at work, you write down, I'm at work. But you document it. You say, well, we're crying out loud. It sounds to me like, you know, the sin police are out there trying to. Yeah. Do you want restoration or not? Because a person who truly wants the bands of wickedness broken, you know what? They're not going to care about this. They'll say, I recognize that in and of myself, I haven't been able to beat this thing yet, so I welcome your help. Call me anytime you want. And you're going to have to be honest when you get these visits and when you get these phone calls. And depending upon what you've been involved with, you may have to be willing to allow your computer to be checked at any point in time. To check the internet history. Well, I'll just go to, you know, file, options, clear internet history. Go ahead. Because there's a way to do an end around and find that stuff where it's stored on your hard drive. And unless you do a clean sweep on your hard drive, dear heart, it's still in there. Your internet history, everything you visit. Go ahead, clean it. Go ahead, click delete internet history. Do it. That's okay. It's still on there. And the only way you're going to erase it is to completely wipe out your hard drive. It's still there. And you're going to have to be willing, depending upon what you've been fighting, for your computer to be accessed by somebody to check up on you. He says, well, it sounds pretty intrusive, but it's not intrusive for a person who's wanting restoration. And remember, we're talking about spiritually mature people being the ones who do this. We're not talking about, you know, the whole church lining up at your front door to come in one by one and check things out. That's not what this is. And I'm not saying you'd ever get a visit. I'm not saying you'd... But what I'm saying is you have to be that open if you really want this kind of change. If you really want this kind of restoration. Remember, if you've been caught in something, people are going to be watching you. And there's always going to be suspicion. There's all, why did he come in late to church? What was he doing? Well, she wasn't at church last week. Wonder where she was. There's always, somebody's going to suspect. In some cases, that might not be bad. But the weaker Christians may take it beyond suspicion and turn it into gossip.
I'll tell you, I know for sure what he's doing. The Lord showed me.
And if you want the kind of restoration that God says you can have, you've got to come to the place of being willing to trust your mature brothers and sisters in Christ. You're going to have that kind of openness. You say, yeah, but what if I goof up? And it's like they find it. I mean, what if I make a mistake and they learn? I mean, what if I... They'll be there to help you. They're not going to beat you up. They're going to be there to help you, to extend the compassion of Christ to you, His mercy, without the tolerance of sin, but His mercy and His compassion to help you get through this. Again, the body of Christ, there's too little of this that goes on. Too many people want vengeance. Even they want to, it's like the sharks that smell the blood, man. They want to circle and devour. And yet in the body of Christ, we've got a responsibility to help each other to get past whatever it is that we need to break free of so that we can live as Christ and conform to His image. So these things are all necessary. You say, well, how do you establish what happens and how it happens and who does what? And so every case is different. Every situation is different. Sometimes it may take a team. Sometimes maybe it can be done one-on-one. But every situation is different. There is not a formula for every single person in every single sin. The prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, that's a standard. But all these other things, they are variables. This is where you've got to pray and get direction from God. This is where you've got to be. The mature people have to be able to hear the voice of God to know how to help this person, because to a certain degree, their judgment's clouded to begin with. And remember, it's all about helping people overcome. Not about condemning. It's about helping them exercise the victory that Jesus Christ has given to us. So can a preacher ever return to the pulpit? Yes and no. Is permanent change possible? Yes and no. I mean, and what about the people that say they want to change and they're just playing the games? They're just playing church. How do you handle that? Yeah, next week. Same God time, same God channel. Hallelujah. Only the older people in here would remember what that is all about. We're going to cover those things because there are a lot of people in the body of Christ. They're players. And they're going to try to take you for a ride. But the thing is, I'm going to show you in Scripture. There are some Christians that believe that there are shyster Christians. That they're going to be able to fool anybody. I'm going to show you in Scripture how that's not true. And I'm going to show you how in Scripture it's possible for a congregation to raise up a standard to where a player is not going to be able to make it in that church. It's in the Word. Now, if you're a Christian and you believe that it's possible for certain people that commit certain kinds of sin to buffalo everybody, just because you got fooled doesn't mean everybody is going to be fooled. Remember, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all things and show us things to come. Okay? We are done for tonight. So everybody stand.